I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, let's talk about Adam Schiff and some of the statements he made in the impeachment trial, day two. This guy has gone absolutely mad. I want to remind all our viewers that Adam Schiff takes a lot of money from Igor Pasternak, who's a Ukrainian oligarch arms dealer. So it doesn't surprise me to see Adam Schiff taking this line of attack against Trump. But anyway, Alexander, here is the quote. Here are some of the quotes that Adam Schiff said during the day two impeachment hearing in the Senate. And I quote, "As one witness put it during our impeachment inquiry, the United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here," Schiff said, drawing rebukes from commentators across the political spectrum. This is coming from Fox News, by the way. And another memorable quote that Schiff said was this: "The president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won," Schiff remarked. He did not elaborate. Alexander, what do you make of these two quotes via Adam Schiff?
Well, they're, first of all, they're classic Adam Schiff, but they're absolute nuts. They show once again Adam Schiff's extraordinarily manipulative but also paranoid approach to politics. And they show two things. Firstly, that he's still trying to peddle this myth of Donald Trump as some kind of Russian agent. I mean, this whole business about Ukraine, you know, we're fighting the Russians over there, because if we don't fight them over there, who knows, they might come and fight us over here. I mean, that is such a crazy idea. I mean, even in the height of the Cold War, when, you know, the USSR was the great superpower with, you know, armies and fleets encompassing the globe, the Russians didn't come to the US to fight them there. In fact, they only ever did in a film that was made in the 1960s, I remember, which had them coming as friends, but that's another story. So, I mean, that's an absolute zany stuff. But the reason Schiff is saying this is because, as has become entirely obvious, the Democrats haven't really given up on Russiagate. This is all about Ukraine, and at one level, of course, is about Ukraine, because what they really want, what the deep state wants, and remember all the witnesses that we saw during the impeachment who we came and gave evidence at the House impeachment hearings, the ones presided over by Adam Schiff. They're all deep state people who were absolutely invested in building up Ukraine as this anti-Russian forward base in Eastern Europe. And they want some kind of massive conflict with Russia there. But that's part of the US's, their great geostrategic neocon play to try to break up Russia and establish some kind of hegemony in Eurasia, something which most Americans are really not into at all. But Adam Schiff's real purpose in all of this is to press on with his fantasy of Donald Trump as somehow the president who is in some shape or form a Russian asset working towards Russian objectives. So he's undermining Ukraine, these heroic people fighting our cause far away, and he's obviously doing it in some form or other, Schiff insinuates, because Moscow and Putin want him to. Of course, he has no evidence for that. None whatsoever. You know, we had the Mueller investigation, which went on for 2+ years. And before that, Comey's investigation. And they came up with no evidence linking Donald Trump with the Russians in any shape or form. Donald Trump has, of course, supplied arms to Ukraine, which Barack Obama, I would repeat and remind our viewers, not only never did, but refused to do. Donald Trump has been more supportive of Ukraine than Barack Obama ever was. And of course, there is no evidence since Donald Trump became president that he follows Moscow's will on anything. I mean, he's kept US troops in Syria. The Russians don't want that. Why would he do that, for example? Just one example, if he was Putin's agent. And of course, the sanctions war on Russia has escalated and intensified enormously since Donald Trump became president. So this whole theory is nonsense. It's complete baloney, but it's Adam Schiff, manipulative, insinuating, as always, trying to promote it. And as you absolutely rightly say, he's got his finger in this Ukrainian pie, like so many other Democrats have. He gets Ukrainian money, as so many of the other Democrats do. And of course, he's got a personal interest, which he doesn't want us to remember and which he obviously doesn't publicize. That's the Ukrainian part of this. Now, I mean, the other things that he says, I mean, I don't know where to begin. I mean, what to say? I mean, this idea that the American people cannot elect their own president, that they're too deluded, that someone, you know, who has committed gross abuse of power, as Schiff says he has, and who's, got the entire media against him, as Donald Trump says, Donald Trump has, that the American people are going to somehow be tricked or fooled into re-electing him is just crazy. It shows Adam Schiff's fundamental and deep contempt for the American people and for democracy in America. And can I just say, people who are as manipulative and as cynical as Adam Schiff is, that's completely unsurprising. Those sort of people never really believe in the good sense of American voters. And in fact, they don't care about American voters because they don't really want American voters deciding who the president is. They want to be the people who decide who the American president should be. So one is Schiff being manipulative and insinuating. The other one is Adam Schiff basically showing that he doesn't care about American democracy. And American democracy for him is just a word because he doesn't trust the American people. He doesn't care about the American people. He doesn't care about the American political system. He is fully and entirely pursuing an objective which advances the interests of the Clintonite faction within the Democratic Party and ultimately Adam Schiff.
Yeah, Alexander, what's that phrase? They say that whatever they're accusing you of is actually what they're doing, or what they're guilty of.
Yeah, I mean, it's projection.
Right.
You project onto the other person what you yourself are thinking. So you think that somebody else thinks like you and somebody else behaves like you. And that's exactly what Schiff does. I mean, he has this, I mean, you know, by the way, if you meet criminals, which I've had the, you know, I've had in previous work that I've had to do, I had to meet criminals. You find that they are very like that. They're very cynical, they're very manipulative, and they assume that everybody else is also. And I'm sorry to say this, Adam Schiff comes across as a bit like this. He's very cynical, he's very manipulative. He assumes everyone else is as manipulative and as cynical as he is. And that is a fundamental error. People are not. Most people don't think like that. They don't think like that at all. He is, in fact, the exception, not the rule. That's always been my experience.
Yeah, and the fact that he's driving home this Trump-Russia connection continuously, and now this Trump-Ukraine thing, I think is a telltale sign that he's the one that's in bed with the Ukraine oligarchs. Absolutely. It's the Democrats via Joe Biden, via Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, that are getting tons and tons of money from the Ukraine oligarchs, as well as many Republicans, let's not forget McCain at the Maidan, his many trips to Ukraine during Maidan. Let's not forget Lindsey Graham was also there.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and my point is that you have Schiff, whose patron, Pastor Nick, a billionaire oligarch Ukraine arms dealer. No one talks about him. No. You have Viktor Pinchuk, who I believe was the number one or number two donor into the Clinton Foundation, who's also, if not the number one or the number two richest man in Ukraine as well. And you have McCain and Graham and all these guys who are at the Maidan, fueling the Maidan revolution and the coup that took place in 2014. Today, Alexander, a picture surfaced, and I believe there is video now that is out, filmed, I believe, by NBC, CNBC, where they have Lindsey Graham approaching Adam Schiff saying, "Good job, you spoke very well." And it's starting to make the rounds now. I'm sure by tomorrow when this video airs, it'll be everywhere. But to me, that it really struck a chord because, once again, you're seeing all these people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, you know, who were just in Ukraine from 2014 onwards, just the carpetbaggers, making money, making deals, pillaging the country, getting rich. It's all these guys that are now center stage at this impeachment trial.
Well, indeed, if I may just make a quick observation, and this is something which, again, I have direct experience from because, I come from Greece, and Greece is a country where corruption is very widespread and very rife. One of the reasons, by the way, why I don't live there or chose not to live there. It's not quite as bad as it was, but it used to be very bad. One of the things I very quickly discovered is that if you're not corrupt yourself in that kind of environment, everybody around you who is corrupt is against you. They are opposed to you. They're also constantly looking to find what your particular angle is because they can't quite believe that you are not corrupt like they are. They always assume that somewhere or other you're hiding something. And the story of the Trump presidency, and indeed before Trump became president, is that the Democrats constantly investigating and looking through every aspect of Trump's life, his business career, his various connections, trying to find proof of Trump's corruption. Trying to find, you know, that he got money through slush funds sent to him by Russians through Deutsche Bank. No evidence of that. Trying to find that, you know, he did something fundamentally wrong with his tax affairs. No evidence of that. That he got out of bankruptcy on the back of, you know, huge undisclosed loans from Russian oligarchs. No evidence of that. And this is one of the things that I think they has driven them mad. They're convinced that at some level, Donald Trump must be as corrupt as they are because, you know, he's Donald Trump. He's this flamboyant, outspoken, vulgar personality as they see him. And that has to mean that he's corrupt. And of course, he's a member of, you know, the billionaire class, so that he is actually not financially corrupt. It's something that they just don't understand at all. And it makes them incredibly hostile to him. And you see that. When you say all of these people in the American political class are so suspicious of Donald Trump, it's precisely because of that. Because they sense that, you know, he doesn't share their style of corruption. And this really worries and scares them. And when they remember that during the 2016 election, he talked about draining the swamp. And they, of course, know what the swamp is. And when he went on television during the 2016 election, I think it was actually in 2015, and spoke quite openly about how he bribed people in the US political system, that really alarms them. That really horrifies them. Bear in mind also that all of these people, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, who's now passed away, Adam Schiff, obviously, Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi. What they also are is that they are professional politicians. I mean, they make their careers by politics. Politics is their career. It's how they make money. It's how they achieve power. They believe that politics is something they understand and they run. Now, what has happened on top of that is that this total outsider, Donald Trump, who is not a politician, who, before he was elected to the presidency, had never held elected office or indeed any kind of state office, comes along and beats them at their own game by winning the 2016 election. Anyone who is a professional, who has been a professional, knows how infuriating it is to be beaten by an amateur. And that's exactly what Trump did. So you have all of this, all of these different elements coming together. You have Donald Trump, the successful amateur, beating the professionals. Donald Trump, the person you can't really stick corruption to, taking on a political class that is completely corrupt. I mean, one of the extraordinary things for me about the Manafort trial was the extent to which it exposed how much corruption there is at all levels of the American political system. I mean, Manafort had been operating and doing all kinds of things for a very long time. And it turned out it wasn't just him. I mean, lots of other people, like, you know, were doing essentially the same sort of things. So, you know, when they're confronted with a phenomenon like Donald Trump, that scares them. That scares the entire political class, because at multiple levels, they just don't get it. They don't understand it. And of course, they hear what he says and they say to themselves, you know, where's this going to end? How's it going to end? How's it going to affect us? And if you are running a whole foundation like Hillary Clinton does, which depends on money coming in from all kinds of foreign donors, well, that scares you even more. Remember, Donald Trump didn't do that. He never had any kind of foundation of that sort and has no apparent interest in setting one up. So it's not surprising that we get all of these things coming together exactly in the way that you said.
Yeah, I mean, Clinton had a quid pro quo foundation. I think that's obvious. And then you have the case of Biden and Hunter Biden and Burisma and all of that stuff, which I think is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, it is. It is
as to all the corruption that was taking place in Ukraine. But every one of these people, both Republicans and Democrats, that are at this impeachment trial, it seems that they all had their hands in Ukraine. They were all getting money from these Ukraine oligarchs, all of them.
Well, indeed. I mean, this is the great irony of it. I mean, Donald Trump is being impeached for seeking what is called a quid pro quo from Ukraine. Except, of course, there's no actual evidence that he did do that, a fact that Schiff doesn't really want to, well, has to try and find skate a way round. But it's very important to say that alleged quid pro quo, which never existed, didn't involve any, you know, transfer of money or anything like that. There's no question of bribes being exchanged. Whereas, as you rightly say, Pinchuk gives money to the Clinton Foundation. And what is that, if not a quid pro quo, a conditional quid pro quo, the condition being Hillary Clinton being elected president? And of course, that does involve a transfer of money. And so, you know, some quid pro quos lead to people being impeached. Other quid pro quos apparently are okay as far as the US political class is concerned. I think most people looking at this from the outside would find that all rather disturbing and very strange.
All right, Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Durand, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Make sure you click the notifications bell as well. Also, smash that like button. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps keep this channel up and running. And Alexander, we've got all kinds of merchandise, magic mugs, t-shirts, v-necks, all kinds of things that will also help keep this channel up and running when you make a purchase.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, we absolutely rely on you to support us in that way. And we, of course, in return, provide you with fantastic merchandise of the sort that we have on our shop. I mean, I've spoken often about our magic mugs, about how beautifully well they're made, how mugs I've had for almost a year now, over a year now, I think, are absolutely as good as new. They literally are. They are beautiful, as beautiful as they've always been. No cracks, no chips, no discolorations, nothing. Easy to clean also, by the way, and light and strong to hold, and keep your tea and coffee and hot chocolate hot and your beer and your champagne cold. So we have beautiful magic mugs like the one I'm holding here with the coat of arms of the Russian Federation, if you can just about see it there. And we've also got our amazing shirts, like the long sleeve shirt I'm wearing at the moment with the double-headed eagle of the Duran there. And we've got short sleeve t-shirts, and we've also got V-neck shirts, and we've got our really smart and amazing polo neck shirts, which I've worn to some really, very formal occasions, in London, and also, dare I say it, when I was skiing a few weeks ago. So all of our shirts, 100% cotton, all beautifully made, all extremely comfortable, all fit really well. The feedback we're getting from our buyers who buy these things is extraordinarily, almost uniformly positive. You help us by buying them, and we don't just have shirts and magic mugs. We also have stickers and hats and hoodies also. So you can find all of these things on our shop. As Alex said, you help the Duran by buying them. You help yourself by owning them. So come to our shop, buy these things, help yourself, help the Duran, and Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just go to the duranshop.com and you'll find all the merchandise there. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.